My name is Brianna Reed, and we are excited to celebrate all God has done in these students' lives here at this school. I wanted to go over a few housekeeping rules. We ask that you keep the front area and aisles clear for our photographer. Also, out of courtesy for all of our guests, we ask that you leave all balloons out in the courtyard. We ask that you do not use beach balls, horn blowers, silly string, confetti, and any other items which may leave trash behind in and outside of the sanctuary. At the conclusion of the ceremony, you may walk down to the school field where you will find your graduate. Please remember that the field will be closing promptly at 7:30 p.m. And without further ado, let's begin the 2026 senior graduation.
Thank you. right, praise the Lord. Well, aloha, wina la. Welcome everyone to the Calvary Chapel Christian School Class of 2026 graduation. Why don't we all stand? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, as we gather together as friends and family to celebrate the achievements, Lord, of these young adults. Lord, and we say their achievements, Lord, what we really mean is the work that you have done in and through their lives. And we're excited to see the work that you're going to continue to do in their futures, Lord. You have set out a path for them, each and every one of them, Lord, to follow you first and foremost, to listen for your still small voice, Lord, to look for your straight paths. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you bless their future. And friends, as friends and families, Lord, we pray that you help us, Lord, to come alongside them, to support them, to pray for them, Lord, as they close this chapter of their lives and move on to the next. So we pray, Lord, your blessing over the ceremony as we all celebrate together as Ohana, Lord, just love on them and to continue to seek the Lord, seek you, Lord, for everything that they have in their lives. So, Lord, we pray for your spirit to be here and to you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I think we have a video presentation for you folks.
If I had to describe my senior year in one word, it would have to be interesting.
Unexpected. Or, wait, no. Busy.
It'd probably be roller coaster.
Unpredictable.
Where'd all the time go? It's starting to fly.
Let's see.
Extravagant.
No.
Unexpected.
Yeah. Unexpected.
Stressful.
Change.
Senior year as Hamo.
Unpredictable.
A roller coaster?
I got it. Spectacular.
Actually, yeah. I'm gonna go with that.
One, two, three, four. Is it on?
Oh, I have to sit up straight?
Yeah.
Do I say my first and last name?
Do I look at you or do I look at the camera?
It's a beautiful day and I met your name.
Is that approved?
Hit me with the questions, miss. Let's go.
My favorite class is probably gotta be.
Probably yearbook all the years and then any class with Mr. Knox.
Can it be any class?
She told me to say yearbook. She threatened to fail me.
High school was definitely my favorite part of being here.
Kindergarten?
Hard question.
Favorite class in all of my years being here would probably be Miss Kua's English class.
Probably PE.
You gotta be history. It's a really fun class and I really enjoy it.
Probably guitar class.
You mean like subject?
Drama. I think it was sophomore year because my brother was in that class.
Lunch?
Lunch isn't a class, right?
Okay. I'll be for real. Favorite subject?
Well, in kindergarten, it was nap time.
Since eighth grade, my favorite class was either Bible in eighth grade or hula sophomore year.
Middle school, it was PE, and then high school, it was pre-calculus.
I like making the yearbook, but I also like playing the guitar, and I also liked PE, but also, like, it went downhill after a while, so.
Any class with Mr. Knox or hula?
I like Bible class a lot.
10th grade, biology with Miss A.
My favorite class has to be lunch. Nothing beats this. Can I not say that?
Is that a class?
Yes, it's the best class.
High school life was pretty good. There's a lot of changes throughout the years, but I wouldn't change how it went.
One thing I do remember is one of the icebreakers for one of the games that we were doing as NHS. We had to unfold a shirt that was like frosted and stuff. And I swung the shirt and I smashed my finger right here. This one.
I don't know if I should say this, miss. We almost burned down the kitchen in the office.
I almost witnessed a burning of a school due to propane.
So I brought a conventional gas stove to the kitchen, and we were changing the propane, and it was too big, so it leaked, and everything got on fire. But luckily, it went out.
Can I say the thing I want to say? Like, is it bad?
I think it was like eighth grade or something, when we had snow day, and that we had like that huge block of ice that wasn't really snow, but it was pretty fun. And I just remember like I was so enthusiastic like to go outside, but like it was a bunch of puddles and mud and stuff already. So then when I was running, I kind of like slipped and fell and just like soaked up all the water. So.
One time during lunch period, all of us boys went to the bathroom and we just turned the lights off. It's like pitch black when the lights are off. So we were just like playing tag in the dark. And then eventually a teacher like kind of caught us. I hid in the bathroom stall, pretending I was using the bathroom to kind of like cover up me, and it worked. I don't want detention now. I'm not gonna get my diploma.
I think what I'm gonna miss the most about high school is probably lunchtime.
Just my classmates and being here every day, even though I'm not here every day.
Probably the people. It's a lot of one-to-one relationships here, like family.
The teachers.
I'm gonna miss, well, all the students here, just the environment and probably all the teachers and how they guided us, especially Principal K. He's been a great mentor and a great coach.
Not being able to see Miss S every day or the janitors or just like everyone I get to say hi to in the morning and throughout the day, I'm going to miss that the most.
The community.
How it integrates the biblical environment.
Well, I will miss the most is Coach Cello. I'll miss you, Coach Cello.
If one of my classmates were to be president, it'd definitely be Danica.
Can women become president? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe McKenna.
I mean, I feel like I could be. Mir McKenna.
I don't know.
Who is the bossiest?
I hope nobody's gonna say me.
Probably Caitlyn.
It's Caitlyn Tachola.
Caitlyn.
Who I think will have the most kids in the class is probably me.
Sophia.
The craziest person in our class is for sure Keita.
Peyton.
Who do you think is the craziest person in your class?
Peyton.
Gabe.
Who do you think has the most attitude?
Oh, attitude.
Amos.
I feel like everyone at certain times has attitude. Maybe Caleb or still Amos.
Amos or Danica, it's one of the two.
I feel like you want me to get hit or something.
If you needed help, who would you call?
Nobody. Myself. 911, my mom.
My message to my classmates is,
it's been a great year. And I'm gonna miss all these memories.
I wish you all the best in all that you do.
You guys are all great. You guys are so much fun.
I'm so proud of each and every one of you, and I've enjoyed all our moments together, and I know God just has great plans for each of you.
Thank you to those who were nice to me. I really appreciate all that you've done.
I'm glad to graduate with you guys, and thank you for all the memories. We've been through the ups and downs, but we made it.
I mean, I love them for sure. Sometimes I wish I wasn't at school because of them, because they can irritate me sometimes, but I mean, that's just how it is. That's how siblings are, and they're all like my siblings.
I love all of you guys so much, and we've came so far together, and I'm so proud of all of you guys to see what you guys are doing with your lives and what you want to do with your lives.
I hope you all just pursue the Lord and your careers, and it all goes so well, and I know it will, because you guys are great and very talented.
I pray that we all just stay in touch and that we just keep our walk in the Lord strong.
I hope no one ends up on the streets of Waikiki.
I just want to say thank you for all these years that you guys have been not only my classmates but my friends, and it was really fun.
I just hope we stay with our walk in the Lord.
I'm very glad to be in this class and not other ones, because this class is just very fun and energetic.
I know you guys not gonna forget me. Tuhama.
Thank you guys, I love you so much.
Good luck. That's it.
I would like to thank my mom and dad for basically supporting me and pushing me through my years of being in school and just wanting the best for me. And I thank my brother for helping me with my homework.
I love you, Mom and Dad. Thank you so much for sending me here, even though I was problematic about going here because it's far away. I just thank the Lord that He also has guided me here. Thank you for establishing that and always teaching me about Jesus. Love you.
Thank you, Mom and Dad, for all that you've done. And I'm sorry I'm a pain. You've gotten me through so much, and I couldn't have been here without you. Mom, I love you so much, and thank you for all that you've done. And thank you for all the time you spent for me. And Dad, thank you for all the sacrifice that you've done. It really means the world to me, and I get to go to school because of you, and that means a lot. Thank you.
And to my lovely, lovely parents, who I love so, so much, thank you for just everything that you've done for me and just getting me this far and always being my number one fans and my supporters. I really appreciate you guys and everything that you do for me. You guys work so hard to make sure that I could have the world. I love you guys so much, and thank you.
Mwah. Dad, thank you for paying my bills for 17 years and putting up with me and being a great example of hard work. And Mom, thank you so much for all of your love and all of your hugs and cuddles and putting up with my attitude and just supporting me and being my biggest fan through everything and getting me through pre-cal.
My parents, thank you so much for everything that you do, for investing in me, and all of the sacrifices that you've made for me. I promise one day that all of your hard work will not go to waste, and I'll make it worth it one day.
To my mommy and my daddy, thank you for always being the support I can just rely on, and for always being in my corner when I need that love and support. Thank you.
To my parents, I would like to say thank you so much for all of the love and time that you've poured out to me and spending money on me. A lot of that has definitely brought me to where I am today, being able to just be on this video and at this school talking to you. So I'm thankful that you guys just love me so much to send me here.
Mom and Dad, I want to say thank you so much for supporting me all these years. I'm so grateful to have you guys, my parents, just being able to guide me. Thank you for lifting me up when I was in my lower points. And yeah, I love you guys. Hopefully I can retire you guys. I don't know.
To my favorite people ever, my parents, thank you guys so much for everything that you've done for me. I love you guys so much, and you are the best example of godly parents and people whom I aspire to be, and I love you. Thank you.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Father. Thank you for always supporting me with my time here. Thank you for always taking me everywhere. And thank you for just loving me and always having my back and everything that I did here. Love you guys.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I like to say I'm grateful for you guys, and I just love you guys for raising me and just like making me become the person I am now, and just like helping me grow closer to the Lord, and just always telling me like things about doing the right thing.
Mom and Dad, thank you for putting me in this school and just raising me up to the man you see right now. Thank you for paying for my classes. Thank you for being with me late at night. And I appreciate what you guys did for me.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you for supporting me and just loving on me throughout my years. And then for my stepmom, thank you for dealing with me and having to put up with my hard-headed actions. For my dad, thank you for being my inspiration. I know you want me to have a better life than you had. Definitely take away a lot of things that you've taught me throughout my years, and continue to push through with your wisdom that you poured onto me.
So my favorite memory from senior year is probably rejoining basketball, because I've done it since elementary and I got to play it one last time for fun.
My favorite memory in senior year is probably winning championships for soccer.
My favorite memory from senior year was when we surprised Jaden at his birthday party, and we did karaoke after, but it was a nice class bonding time.
Probably volleyball championships.
Probably the soccer championships.
Getting to play at the YPO soccer stadium for championships and winning it with my favorite team.
Of senior year, I would say the first day of school. We had like worship and we did like a potluck, and it was great.
Well, technically we're not there yet, but I'd say it's the trip to Japan. It's gonna be one of my favorite memories.
Japan.
Going to Japan was my favorite senior memory.
I wanna say it's gonna be the Japan trip.
My senior night for basketball, because I dunk.
My favorite memory was probably prom. That was really special and new experience for all of us, basically, so yeah.
Biggest takeaway would be valuing my time, because I really didn't think that senior year would come this quickly.
I'm gonna miss y'all. I have some very dear friends here.
I just want to say that God is so good, and just to trust in Him and put your faith in Him, because He will do beyond what you can imagine.
Coach said this to me, just run through the cramps, meaning even when life gets hard or even when there's a lot of roadblocks, you just gotta keep pushing through.
To everybody who came out tonight, thank you so much for coming.
I love all of you guys, and have a blessed day.
Juice.
You can take the local boy out of the island, but you cannot take the island out of the local boy.
Sophia Taylor signing out.
I'm ready to go.
Yes! We graduated! We did it! Yeah!
Wow, what a great class. And I know you're all gonna mob them after this is over, so I'm gonna go up individually and congratulate them. Well, I kind of feel like Paul the Apostle when he said to the church in Thessalonica, I've longed to be with you. And I actually asked the graduating class if I could do the service, or I could do the speech or the commemoration for them. And so they said, yeah, you can, Bill, since you're the pastor of the church. I guess you can. So I said, that's right, and I am, and I'm going to. And I just, I love it because what a great class this is, and so many different personalities and different different things that they're saying, and just the just the heart that they gave to the parents and those that made it possible for them to be here. I know that the Japan trip was one of the things that they really enjoyed, and they were there, I think, for about 10 days, traveling time and all, something like that. But actually, my grandson, Bud, had joined them. He's a missionary over in Okinawa, and he flew to mainland Japan to be with them. And so they got to know him, and now they got my grandson. Now they get the granddad to give the message here. But I was in touch with Bud, and I asked him how things were going. And let me read some of the things that he said about you guys as I would email or text him a couple times. He says, "Hey, Gramps, the kids are awesome." They went to Fuchu with Rich. Rich was super blessed. He said that he really saw the joy of the Lord in them. And then just last week on Wednesday, he said, "I'll be with them until tomorrow." That would be Thursday, their time. "It's been a super great trip. I'm sad to have to part ways, but hopefully they will be able to come back out for another trip soon." So I don't know about that, but maybe so. I know he will be over here for our pastor's leaders conference. He's going to represent the Bible College there in Okinawa and just give a little shout out to that. But I know some of the graduates, they have plans already, and some of them are great plans. I hear some are going into nursing, others are looking to Bible College, others are looking to the military. I'm not sure all of them, but what a great plan and future they have. One of the things that struck me is there's 14 of them, and there were 14 preschool or kindergarten graduations. And I thought, well, that's interesting because numbers are kind of interesting in the Bible. There's something interesting called biblical numerology, and it's the study of the meaning of symbolic numbers related to the scripture. It's not necessarily a Bible verse, but when you look at it, it's accurate. One being the number of unity, many people in church, but we're one body in Christ. Three is the number of Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Trinity, the supreme Trinity. We are an inferior Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. You have also six. Six is the number of man. God created, and on the sixth day, man was created. Seven being the number of completion. He completed creation on the seventh day. So that's really completeness or perfection. 40 being the number of testing. Jesus was tested by the devil for 40 days. The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years testing. But I also thought 14. I wanted to bring that number out. 14. It symbolizes deliverance, salvation, double spiritual perfection, because there's two sevens. Also, God's timing, generational promises. Actually, in my generation, we have three generations of those in ministry. My son started a church in Hawaii. He's now in Idaho doing another church. And my grandson is now a missionary in Okinawa. So you find that generational promises. And then divine intervention in moments of crises. So a lot of that is a very positive thing for those who are graduating. Now, what does it mean? Is it biblical? Well, it just has some interesting symbolic meaning to it. And I say that to say this, because the promise in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, is a promise not just in the Old Testament, it's a promise for us and for those that are the graduates here in 2026. where Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare or to prosper, and not for calamity or for harm, to give you a future and a hope." That's what God has planned for those that are graduating. And I think when you're graduating, you're going from one element to another. The graduates, I'm sure there's a lot of optimism. There's a lot of excitement. But also, I think there's concern that they have. Maybe they have some apprehension as to venturing out from that routine that they had and that security they had in the home and in the school, and now going into a whole new place, a whole new future. It's known for some of them, as I mentioned, some of them have already got plans, but it's also unknown. They don't exactly know how these plans are going to work out. And you know, when I thought that, I thought, you know, the Hebrews, going into the Promised Land, they were similarly connected in that way. They had the same situation because God said, go to a place that I've got a plan for you. God knew it in his mind. God knows it in his mind for these 14, but go to this place that I have planned. But for them, it was known because they were going, but it was also unknown. They didn't exactly know what they were going to get into. And so you find in Joshua chapter 3, let me read a few of the verses. It says, "Then Joshua got up early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan. And they spent the night there before they crossed. Then at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark,'" now the ark represented the presence of God, "when you see the ark of the covenant of God, your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits." A cubit is about 18 inches, so that's 3,000 feet by measure. "Do not come near it, so that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." So applicable here, because they're going out a place, you know, they know they're going, but there's also unknown there. And notice what God says to the Israelites: keep your eyes on the ark, keep your eyes on the presence of God. You see, that ark representing God, there was what is called the Shekinah glory. In other words, it was a cloud by day to cover them from the hot sun, but also a fire by night so that that would lead them. It was always there. The ark was the presence of God, always there. And so as they journeyed, they were aware, they could see where they were going because they had sight on the ark. Don't get too close. Don't crowd any others out. They might see it as well. So stand back, let everyone see where they're going, see the ark, see the presence of the Lord. All they needed to do is recognize and follow. You see, the Bible says for them and also for us in Deuteronomy, for the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So you see, so much that is true for us. You go into a place unknown. You're going out. You're venturing out in a whole environment, situation. You know, you're not maybe at the parents' house. You're not having to go to that class. You're not having to do that homework. You're not having to do all this stuff. But you're now out there on your own. But you see, God will always be there. But you see, the people, they're prone to drift. And I think some of those that were sharing in the video here, they were talking about sticking with the Lord. Because there, those that went into the land, they were prone to drift, and some did. But others, they kept their eyes on the Lord, and that was the key. Keep your eyes on the Lord, because he's going to lead you into that promised land, that which he's prepared for you. It's interesting how the Bible says God has prepared our heritage for us. In other words, everyone that's here, God has prepared that. He knew you would be here. He knew the kids, the young men and women would be going out into their, venturing out into a whole new experience with them. God knew that, and he created that. And so the exhortation or the hope was that they all follow the Lord continually. And so God has said that he's not going to leave, he's not going to forsake. But then Jesus tells us, he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd or wise as serpents, and innocent or gentle as doves." So we know that there are traps out there. We know there are situations out there that want to take us away from all that we've learned, all that we have here, all that they have, the 14 graduates have here. And there is that out there that wants to draw them away or wants to entice them. As Jesus said, well, watch out. You see, when the people took their eyes off the ark, off the presence of the Lord, they backslid. They backslid. And we pray diligently for those young ones that are going out. You see, those that God loves, he disciplines. When they do backslide, he disciplines them. God gave the children of Israel over when they did backslide, taking their eyes off the Lord. They gave them over to a pagan king, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar. You see it in Daniel chapter 1. But God wanted to discipline them or chasten them. God chastens those that he loves and brings every son and daughter back into relationship with him. And so this Nebuchadnezzar, this pagan king, he wanted the cream of the crop of those young Hebrews that were now taken captive. Oh, the nation had backslid, but Daniel didn't. Neither did the other three. There were four young ones, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't backslide. And so this pagan king wanted the cream of the crop, wanted these young ones on his in his court. And so he had them learn the king's ways, eat the king's food, trained 3 years to serve the king, and then put them in the palace of the king and even change their identity, change their name. Isn't that interesting when you think about temptation? I read a story. It's a good story. He said, imagine you've been kidnapped, taken hundreds of miles from home, and your captives hand you the best food in the kingdom, the finest education, a new name, a fast track to power. Would you even notice you were a prisoner? That's the situation with Daniel that Daniel faced. Babylon's strategy wasn't chains, it was comfort. The most effective indoctrination rarely feels like coercion. It feels like an upgrade. And when we apply that to the graduates, realize that you're walking into a world that wants to shape you, wants by force, not by force, but by flattery and convenience, just as he wanted to do with these four Hebrew boys. Daniel, his name means, given by his parents, Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah that's the original name, the Hebrew name, means the grace of the Lord. Mishael means who is like God. And Azariah, the Lord is my help. We usually don't use the Hebrew names. We use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are the names Nebuchadnezzar gave the boys, because that new name Daniel was Belteshazzar. It means Bel's prince or protector. That's the pagan god. They named him after the pagan god. They changed the identity. And then you have Hanani, his name was changed to Shadrach. That means commanded of the moon god or Akur. The other one, Mishael, is Meshach. That's who is like Aku. And the other, Azariah, Abinadet, that servant of Nebu, or fire. All these were pagan gods. And so changing that whole changing that whole identity from the things of the Lord, the person of the Lord, to the things of the world. You see, Daniel, the Bible says, made up his mind that he would not defile himself. And so, as they pushed forward, Daniel pushed back. And the Bible tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How did the four do when they refused to be like Nebuchadnezzar's court, to be like the worldlings? How did they do? Not conforming to that pressure of Nebuchadnezzar, that worldly standards, where they didn't go along with that. How was that for them? Did that really hurt them? Did that just kind of cast them out of no relationships? And even with that leader, that king? Here's the report as they kept their eyes on the Lord. It's Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. And as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king, Nebuchadnezzar, consulted them, he found them, these four, 10 times better than all the magicians and the conjurers who were in all his realm. In other words, those elite, those high muckamuck individuals, those important, those influential, those conceited, these four were found 10 times better. You see, keeping our eyes on the Lord, them keeping the 14 here that are graduates, keeping their eyes on the Lord is really that plan for God's plan in their life. You see, the world wants to addict young ones. He wants to addict the 14 to itself, like the luxuries there in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. That's what it was. It wasn't a hard thing. It was luxuries. You see, but the class of 2026, be a Daniel. That's my encouragement. No, you can't see me. I'm kind of talking to your side or to your back. But be like a Daniel. Make up your mind. Daniel made up his mind. And you've done it all throughout the school year, for as many years as you've been here, and you've had to do it every day. We have to do it every day. You could be a pastor, and you have to make up your mind every day that I will serve the Lord. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you not think these four Hebrews did not have shame? They were probably just putting shameful things on them. Well, they didn't waver. They didn't waver. Don't hesitate to make up your mind. You can do it right now in this graduation time, making up your mind, I will serve the Lord all the days of my life. Lord, I pray that you give me the strength and the power to do just that, to serve you all the days of my life. And whatever calling you give me, whatever trade that I'm in, whatever I'm doing, may I glorify you in that. And may I be a witness to those that I come in contact with. And so I would now give you a graduation commendation. Now as you leave this place, you graduating class of 2026, may you carry not just a diploma, but so much more. God's grace, God's truth guiding you, and that establishing his good plan for your life. May the education and the friendships and the spiritual training forged here at Calvary Chapel Christian School carry you through life's ups and downs, because there are those, and in the times of little and the times of much, may God's goodness be your satisfaction. And we pray an amen, and so be it to you. Congratulations, class of 2026, and God bless you.
Good evening. My name is Tammy Johnson, and I would like to share with you an honor, a special honor, that we are giving to four of our graduates today. Students here at CCCS have the opportunity to complete their associate degree of Associate of Arts degree in liberal arts through our dual enrollment program. These students take college classes beginning their sophomore year of high school while simultaneously working toward their high school diploma. They have worked hard over these past 3 years to acquire both degrees. Please join me in recognizing these students. Julianne Asuncion. Amos Oz. McKenna Gillis. And Jaden Ortal. Congratulations to all of you on receiving both your college associate degree and your high school diploma. Please give them another round of applause.
At this time, we will be presenting the graduating class of 2026. These students who have attained academic excellence will be honored as reflected by their cumulative grade point average. Please take note of students wearing special academic insignia this evening in recognition of their achievements. Gold stoles are worn by graduates, signify membership in the Calvary Chapel Christian School, Pueyo chapter of the National Honor Society. Maroon cords signify cum laude graduates, and these are students who have earned a 3.5 to 3.75 GPA. Silver cords signify magna cum laude graduates. These are students who have earned a 3.76 to 3.99 GPA. Gold cords signify summa cum laude graduates, and these are students who are recognized for graduating with the highest distinction for having earned a 4.0 or above GPA. Graduates, when your name is called, please come up and receive your diploma. Julianne Larice Tumaumau Asuncion, summa cum laude. Julianne is a member of the NHS. She plans to attend Chaminade University of Honolulu and Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in nursing. Amos Jiayi Oz, summa cum laude. Amos is president of the NHS, and he plans to attend Colorado Christian University in Lakewood, Colorado, and with a major in business. Gabriel Kenneth Clavilius Bullahan. Gabriel plans to attend the Army National Guard at the University of Hawaii Manoa in Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in business and theater. Caitlin Reese Cruz Cachola. Magna cum laude. Caitlin plans to attend Hawaii Pacific University in Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in nursing. Caleb Micah Caldera. Magna cum laude. Caleb is a member of the NHS, and he plans to attend Chaminade University of Honolulu and Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in nursing. Mia Desiree Salas Cruz. Mia plans to attend Hawaii Pacific University in Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in nursing. Lily Diana Dominguez. cum laude. Lily is a member of the NHS, and she plans to attend Makana Aesthetics Wellness Academy in Honolulu, Hawaii. David Keita Gagnon. Keita plans to attend Calvary Bible Institute in Lihue, Kauai, majoring in theology. Mikana Kailani Gillis. Summa cum laude. Mikana is the vice president of NHS. She plans to attend the University of Hawaii in Manoa, Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in nursing. Peyton Kamehameha Ka'eha. Peyton plans to join the United States Air Force with a focus in cybersecurity. Jaden Rojas Gallego Ortal. Summa cum laude. Jaden is a member of the NHS. He plans to attend California Baptist University in Riverside, California, with a major in civil engineering. Danica June Spring. Magna cum laude. Danica is a member of the NHS. She plans to attend Kansas University in Lawrence, Kansas, and major in English. Sophia Gabrielle Taylor. Magna cum laude. Sophia is a member of the NHS. She plans to attend Chaminade University of Honolulu in Honolulu, Hawaii, majoring in nursing. Tiana Crystal Woods. Cum laude. Tiana plans to enter the workforce as a pediatric dental office assistant and plans to attend the University of Hawaii, Manoa, with a major in dental hygiene. And the following students have attended Calvary Chapel Christian School since kindergarten. Sophia, Caitlin, Mia, Jaden, and Keita.
All right. All right, guys, guess what? You did it. So, in honor of the 2026 Calvary Chapel Christian School class, you may now take your tassel and move it to the left. Ladies and gentlemen, the senior class would like to present a dance for you. Enjoy.
It's our last chance to share the stage before we go separate ways. High school wasn't meant to last forever. It's our last chance for us to shine, to bring you music one more time. So come on, come on, come on.
To end our presentation, the seniors wanted to take time to recognize the OGs of their class, the five seniors who have been at CCCS since kindergarten. We ask you to please turn on your flashlights from your phone. And let's give it up for Sophia Taylor, Keita Gagnon, Caitlin Cochola, Mia Cruz, and Jaden Ortol. Formally, a message from the senior class to you. They want you to extend their thanks to their Calvary Ohana for their love and support, for all of the friends and families who came tonight, and most of all, to Jesus for bringing them to where they are today.
After the alma mater, Pastor Jake will close us in prayer.
from.
Amen. Senior class, congratulations. Do you guys feel any different? Does it feel real? You look smarter. You really do. Hey, one little verse for you before you leave. I know you've had some great advice up here, but just a word from the Lord himself. He speaks of the soil that takes in the word of God, the seed, and bears fruit. And he says, and this is what we pray for you guys. He says, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. That's our prayer for each one of you guys. Let's close in prayer. And just so you know, parents, let the graduates make their exit. Let them make it down to the field. And then after that, we will be released. And we're going to go down there and find our graduates in the lower field and celebrate with them. So. But as we pray, you can even, if you want, extend your hand toward the graduates, but we're just going to lift them up, lift up their lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just this day of accomplishment. Lord, it truly is a celebration as we see these young men and women that you've poured into these 17, 18 years of their life. And now, Lord, as they step out into their own, Lord, they've heard the advice, they've heard your word, the seed has been planted, and Lord, we want to see it bear much fruit. Lord, we pray that the character that's been developing in them all these years would start to shine, it would start to show. Lord, that they would be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, their Savior. Lord, we ask that all of the elements of that you put them together with, I think of each mother and father, each mom and dad, the grandparents, the siblings, the friends, their teachers, every teacher from preschool through kindergarten all the way to their senior year, little pieces of their lives. And yet, Lord, the most important piece is you. And we pray, Lord, that your power, your Holy Spirit, your guiding light, Lord, that you would direct them, that your word would truly be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their steps. Bless them in every way. Lord, we lift up this class. We thank you. We celebrate their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.